Y'all, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello and welcome to Brokenomics. Now, in this episode, I wanted to be rather self-critical because, you see, I recently accepted an invitation to go on to a US liberal show talking about Chud the Builder. And, I mean, I'll play you the clip. I'm quite critical of my performance here because I think that if you are already on the right and you're familiar with what I'm talking about, you're probably going to think, oh, yeah, that was fine. I don't think I won over many people who would have started out critical of this or many neutral observers. So actually what I wanted to do is I wanted to analyse debate in a hostile environment. And I'm going to use my case here as an example of it because I wanted to learn from this so that I can do better next time. But also just kind of get into the underlying points. But more than anything, I think this is going to be something about how do you debate the left on ground that they're very comfortable on? Because that's something us on the right, we must always be holding ourselves to the highest standards because we simply don't get the advantages that left-leaning media does. They evolve in a world where all of these talking points are just assumed. They're inculcated in the education system, in the media. And so we need to hold ourselves to the highest standard when debating with these people. So what I will give you is my editor will put in the actual exchange and judge for yourselves. And then we'll come back and we'll look at what worked and what didn't work and how we can debate with the left better on these things. Now, I didn't know who Brad was going into this. I just got the invitation and, okay, fairly big channel, fine. I'm really busy at work. I'll do my hour and a half drive back to Winchester. And as soon as I'm jump on the call. So I'm kind of tired and I don't really know what I'm walking into. But no, should have done better. So watch this and then we will we'll analyze it.
All right. Joining me now, we've got the right-wing British commentator, Dan Tubb, from the Lotus Eaters podcast. Dan, thanks for coming on the show.
Well, thank you for having me, Brad.
Absolutely. This is the point of the show, is to hash out different perspectives and have dialogue, even on contentious issues. And I will say, your commentary on this had me scratching my head. On Twitter, you compared Chud the Builder to our generation's Rosa Parks.
Absolutely.
You've said that you back him completely. I got to tell you, I find that to be perplexing. But here's where I'd like to start. Before we get into the specifics of this instance for which he's been charged with a crime, let's just talk about him in general. So this is a guy who is a nuisance streamer. He goes out live streaming in public and causes a scene, goes up to random black people, calls them the N-word, slurs, tries to provoke a reaction. To me, that seems like just a despicable thing to do.
He doesn't really do that, Brad. I mean, I'll admit, I hadn't seen him until a few days ago when the controversy popped up and I looked at some of his stuff. And generally, you find he's meeting people where they are. If black people are talking to him and they're perfectly respectful, he's perfectly respectful back. What he does is if he sees them acting out of line, which for whatever reason, I don't know why, but doesn't seem to take very long, you know, say they're parking in the wrong place or behaving badly, he calls it out and then the energy that he's met with is what he responds with.
So I've seen a fair bit of his content. I can't say I watch hours and hours and hours of his stream, but I have seen him have minor altercations with Black people and just start dropping the N-word with the hard R. And that seems to me wildly antagonistic and inappropriate, just like a cruel thing to do to random strangers because they parked wrong or something.
Okay, so, I mean, yeah, if you're going to be blocking fire exits and just generally behaving in a way that you would not yourself. I mean, the essential question here is everybody going to be held to the same standard? Because I can tell you, I would absolutely call somebody out if... I do. If I see somebody who's perfectly able parking in a disabled bay, I'll call it out. If I see somebody blocking a fire exit on a building...
Would you call them a slur?
I would call it out.
Would you call them the N-word?
Well, it's not really an issue in the area that I live because it's almost an exclusively white area. But yeah, I would call out anyone who behaves badly.
Okay, but are you calling out the behavior they're doing wrong? Like, hey, asshole, you're parked in a disabled spot, or are you saying, why are you parked in a disabled spot, slur? Like, that's the I don't understand that. Why wouldn't you attack the thing they're doing rather than just start attacking their identity in racist ways?
Well, I think it does. And look, if they are going to act aggressively towards him, look, you have to understand this is not happening in isolation. This is not an incident that has come out of nowhere. The reason that we're in this situation is because there is a massive double standard applied to whites. Behavior that we would not get away with is often excused. Yeah, I mean, let's look at this particular incident. Okay, so he was leaving a courthouse. There was a man who had said on social media that he was going to go and get Chud. He'd driven for an hour to be there to cause a confrontation. You know, I could understand there was a lot of assumption that this incident occurred because Chud was going around being obnoxious to perfectly innocent people and calling them names and all the rest of it. No, this guy had driven for an hour to be there. And he accosted him. He attacked him. He jumped on top of him. He started punching him.
Well, hang on. How do you know that?
Well, because we've seen the video. I mean, we've seen some of the stuff that's come out.
There's no
out.
Video of the shooting. The video cuts in after the shots are fired.
Okay, but I mean, look.
So you can't tell what happened in the aftermath. The arrest warrant says that he escalated the confrontation by reaching for the gun. Chud did.
Okay, well, I mean, I've seen some stuff. Okay, and look, I put my hands up if the stuff that I've seen is completely wrong. But there is audio that's come through of the paramedic attending him saying that yeah, he's got cuts and abrasions on his head. You know, he was a sort of look.
Because the whole fight happened, but that doesn't tell you who started the fight.
Sure, and look, if it turns out there's good evidence that Chud just walked up and shot this guy, then absolutely, yeah, he should go to jail. But actually, I think. You know, what happened is that this guy assaulted him. He attacked him. We know that he drove an hour to be there. Well, because we've seen what this guy has put out. I mean, it's been shared. And look, if it turns out all of that is an AI fabrication, yeah, fine, you should go to jail. But from everything I've seen so far, suggests that, you know, this guy was there to provoke a confrontation and he got it. You know, let's just turn this around. Let's say a white guy had driven an hour to have a confrontation outside a courthouse and attacked him and started punching on him. And then the other guy pulled a gun and shot him. There wouldn't be any of this for her. The problem is that we are held to separate standards. At a minimum, we should be held to the same standard.
Of course, that
simply isn't happening.
So, but my question here is, I don't think we actually know that this guy just started punching him and then Chud drew his firearm. I don't think we know exactly what happened. We can only go based on the arrest documents. And there is surveillance video that will be introduced at trial, but is not available to the public. But I get what you're saying about if this guy came and instigated a conflict with Chud, that would be, you know, a sign that he was part of the problem. So the flip side there, though, is that Chud very clearly was going into these situations looking to antagonize and start a fight where he could kill someone. So here's a tweet from Chud on May 7th, so just a few days before this happened. The series finale is a dead on the pavement and you monkeys rioting when I walk free. Stay tuned. So that's going to undercut any claim of self-defense because clearly this streamer was going around looking for a fight to escalate so he could kill someone. That's not what self-defense as a legal mechanism exists to serve.
Yeah, look, and I agree. He's almost certainly going to go for jail for a very long time, like Derek Chauvin did, even though Derek Chauvin didn't do anything wrong. He followed procedures exactly. In the court, it was emerged that, okay, even the prosecution agreed that he did not have the knee on the neck.
Well, that's a whole separate issue. Let's not go down that rabbit hole.
No, it is the central issue. The central issue is that people are held to a different standard across the first world. And if you're white, you are held to a simply higher standard. I mean, you can see this in the bail conditions you got. You can see it in the fact
how
that...
How so?
Well, that it's five times larger than the largest fine for a similar case.
Do you know why that would be, though? There's actually a totally non-racial reason for that.
Than the average.
So the reason is that the reason for that has nothing to do with race. It's because he was already released on bond from another arrest and charged just days before. And when you're on bond, then violate the terms of your release, they hit you with an extra large bond to keep you in prison. It has nothing to do with him being white. You're just pushing race identity victim nonsense.
Okay, and is it your position that white people are treated exactly the same under the legal system?
I don't think there's systemic discrimination against white people in America.
Okay, well, I can understand why you're coming from that then, because there clearly is.
Like what's, okay, based on what?
Well, judged on the behavior of the legal system. You know, it's not just in your nation. It happens in my nation as well. So, I mean, just a few days ago, the video that you referred to earlier when I talked about Chad the Builder, there was a guy in Southampton, not far from where I live. He was a young 18-year-old university student. He was walking home. A couple of Indian guys aggressed on him. They stabbed him. And then when the police turned up, the Indian guys, who were older and bigger than him, they told the police that he had been racist. So what the police did is they put him in handcuffs and they watched him drown in his own blood on the floor after having been stabbed. There is this
That's
perception.
Horrible, but that's an anecdote in the UK. It's not proof of systemic discrimination in the US.
And you get these anecdotes every single day. This happens all the time. You see quite often black criminals let off with very minor sentences. I mean, take Irina Lezensko. I mean, there are hundreds of these examples where they do something horrific and they are repeatedly let out of jail time and time again until
Absolutely.
They kill
That's
somebody.
That's a problem, but that isn't
it,
because
it is
they're black that they're let off.
And this is why I support Chad the Builder, because what he is doing is he is pushing boundaries.
So you do support him. You're like, he might go to jail for decades and he might have killed the person unjustifiably, but I do support him. I do back him. Here's his give, send, go. Give him money.
No, I mean, what you're suggesting, what you've been asking me before is, okay, if a completely different set of events had transpired. Look, I'm not saying that I support him irrespective of what he did. If it turns out he did something completely different to what it seems that he did do. There are circumstances, I'm not saying that, you know, there are no circumstances which I think a white person should, of course I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that there is a separate legal standard and that people and white people are held to a radically higher standard. And the legal system needs to start treating people fairly. Now, what Chad the Builder is doing, the reason that I compare him to Rosa Parks is he is pushing boundaries.
Trolling people. You know that's ridiculous.
No, I'm not.
It's absolutely ridiculous. No, she was resisting a racial apartheid in America.
And that's what Brad's doing.
Brad? I'm Brad.
Chad, sorry. American names throw me off. We don't get a lot of those around here. You know, that's what Chad was doing. Now,
what?
Look,
I'm sorry. He's resisting a non-existent racial apartheid against white people in America by going around calling random black people monkeys and chimps and calling them the N-word.
If you believe there is the double standard is non-existent, then I can understand why you'd think that. But I do.
Okay,
think
but it's not freaking Rosa Parks civil rights era. Even if you think there was some systemic bias against white people in the criminal justice system, which I actually think data indicates the opposite. But even if I granted you that, you can't actually seriously suggest it's remotely comparable to a system of Jim Crow segregation we had here in America with separate drinking fountains, sitting at the back of the bus. Literally, you can't have this job. You can't work here. You can't go to this school. You're seriously making a comparison there, not ironically.
No, this is not ironic. I would rather have to drink out of a separate water fountain than have a family member attacked and then see that person walk free because some liberal judge has decided that there's too many black men in jail and therefore they don't need to be treated the same. And the comparison with Rosa Parks, I am 100% serious about that. Rosa Parks was put up to it. She was an agitator. This was a prearranged
stunt.
She was
an activist.
Yeah, and she went out and she did it to provoke people.
Well, now, to protest a system of racial apartheid against black people, which is a noble cause.
Yes, fine. Yeah, fine.
That's what activists do. They initiate situations they can then legally and socially challenge.
I tell you what, at the time, if there were podcasts there, there would have been people saying that why was she provoking people? Why did she do that? It's because she was making a point. This is what Chud is doing. He's going
out there. By calling people slurs on the street and monetizing it.
So do you think black people don't use those slurs?
I think they do, yeah.
Okay. Do you think, Anderson, I mean, like I
don't
say,
think I that's comparable to white people calling black people racial slurs, them using it for each other, no.
So it's fundamentally different, is it?
Yes. Yeah, the meaning of and significance of words is different based on context and social relations, yes.
Now, look, I don't go around saying that because I'm generally quite a polite guy, but...
So you did say you might if somebody's in your parking spot or in a disabled parking spot.
I don't know if I'd go there, but the point is I would call people out. And I do call out people if I see them misbehaving, if I see them doing something they don't do. Now, like I said, I'm from a white area, so it doesn't particularly come up for an issue around here. But yeah, I call people out if their behavior is out of line. And the videos I've seen of Chud, that's what he's doing. And then they become very aggressive and they, you know, to his phrase, they chimp out.
That's a racist phrase, though. They just say they're angry. Why are you making it a chimp thing? That's just intentionally racially inflammatory.
I'm not saying that.
Say it with your chest. You are saying it.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to get mad at you. It's just the truth. Yeah. But don't hide behind the "I'm just quoting him." You clearly are echoing.
Well, it's not a phrase I naturally reach for, but I mean, whatever. I mean, as long as it's descriptive to the point. But, you know, there is a behavioral standard. There is a massive, and your point earlier, you talked about the you push back on my idea that whites are treated differently in the legal system. Well, and you pointed to actually no, it's the other way around. That's because of criminality. That's because of a propensity to criminality.
Well, and they, we have even, to pretend so even when
that's
white
not
and black
true,
people,
but it is true.
Even when white and black people are charged with similar crimes or the same crime, there's disproportionate sentencing and criminal justice outcomes in a way that is worse for black people. In the U.S. criminal justice system, I really can't speak to the U.K., to be clear. I'm familiar with the U.S. system of criminal justice, and there is ample evidence. You can debate the scope of it, for sure, and I think it's often overblown by progressives who want to claim America is like an evil, dystopianly racist society, but there is some evidence, for sure, supporting the idea that, if anything, the U.S. criminal justice system treats black people disproportionately worse. There's really no statistical evidence that white people get harsher sentences for the same crime or anything like that. That doesn't exist.
Well, look, I can't speak to the rest of those statistics or the people who compile them, because quite often this is very agenda-driven and it's incredibly easy to manipulate statistics. All I can tell you is that every day I see examples of... you might say is anecdote, but no, it's pattern recognition.
It's an echo chamber. You're on Twitter and you see the same videos because you engage with them when you see them. A black person behaving badly, like, share, repost on my podcast. So of course it shows you more than that. That doesn't tell you any statistical reality about the world.
All I can tell you, look, I've been podcasting for about 4 or 5 years now, and it is our job to engage with these stories as they come up. And every day for those 5 years, I've been seeing example after example, and I am noticing a pattern. Now, you can say, okay, well, this left-wing organization has produced these statistics and they say something else. But I'm just telling you, I see a pattern here.
Okay. A couple of final things I want to get your thoughts on real quick, kind of rapid fire.
Sure.
If your mom parks in the disabled parking spot at the grocery store because she's just being lazy and I see her behaving badly, I can call her a fat and that's fine.
No, I don't really think that is fine. But look, my mother...
But earlier you said he could. That was justification for calling black people the N-word.
No. The cases I'm talking about is when you get some, you know, 20-year-old kid turn up and he bounces out of it with his baseball cap on backwards. He's clearly not disabled.
How does the direction of the baseball cap matter whether you can call someone the N-word?
I don't know what you're driving at there, Brad. But no, look, if people are behaving... Look, the issue with our countries is that poor behavior is not called out, and it should be.
I agree, but I think it's poor behavior to antagonize people
society
and call them slurs to monetize it for rage bait.
Look, the videos I've seen of him, that is not what's happening. He calls out
behavior. Which you admit is not that much.
And then they get up in his face, they get aggressive, and actually most of the time, they're using that word that you don't like before he does.
Okay, that's not the same. So let me put this in context, okay. Right? I'm a gay person, which is obviously not relevant to this conversation. Another one of my good friends who I make content with is also gay. If we jokingly call each other a f***, that is obviously very different than if a person corners me in the street when I'm with my husband or boyfriend and starts screaming at me, I'm a disgusting f-. You understand the context and the in-group, out-group does make the word use different. And that's not some like double standard. It's just how language works.
Screaming anything at anybody in the street is not a particularly good idea. But, you know, to give the example, if you were behaving poorly in public and somebody had a confrontation with you and you get up in their face and you're getting aggressive and you're screaming and you start screaming that at them and they scream it back to you. I mean, you know, this is an argument. No, look, I mean, let's go back to the Rosa Parks thing. She went out in order to provoke a reaction to highlight a difference in the system. Yes. Chad has done the same thing. I looked into this. There are apparently 10 statues of Rosa Parks across the US. I think there should be 10 of Chad.
Good grief. All right. Well, I'll just be honest. I think you're just doing a contrarian bit. I think you're just being edgy.
I'm really just being
antagonistic, and that's fine because you know what? Whether it's Chud saying slurs, I'm not going to support him shooting people, probably in my view, indefensibly, but I will support his free speech right to be an asshole. Look, Brad, and I will support yours to be a contrarian.
If somebody is attacking you, if somebody has jumped on you and is punching you, if that is indeed what happened, okay?
It's not, there's no proof of that. We don't know exactly what happened.
But if somebody jumps on you and starts punching you, do you have the right to defend yourself?
Absolutely. But we have no reason to believe that's what happened.
We have no reason to not believe that's what happened, but neither of you and I were there, so let's find out.
All right. Well, I do appreciate the spirited conversation. Thank you for joining me.
Enjoyed it, Brad.
I enjoyed it as well. Thanks so much.
So, there you have it. That was the exchange. You know, judge for yourselves how you think I did on that one. Honestly, I think it did better as spectacle than it did as sort of the technicals of debate. So, I think I did land my core frame repeatedly. That is, you know, two-tiered justice and its unequal behavioural standards and Chud as a boundary pusher. Self-defence not yet disproven. But Brad, what he did do, he was able to largely control the moral camera angle. You know, he kept dragging away from, you know, systematic double standards into are you personally endorsing racist slurs? And he was quite skilled in getting me to try and defend the least defensible surface-level version of the argument, okay? Now, I think my biggest technical weakness was not being as extreme. It was imprecisely using the extremes. So, you know, the Rosa Parks comparison, it's high impact. But I should have defined it more narrowly. So, you know, I'm not comparing moral stature or virtue, and it would be impossible to do that with a left-wing crowd anyway. What I'm comparing is tactics and deliberately breaching taboos or rules that expose unequal enforcement. Now, without that narrowing, Brad was successfully able to make me appear as if I was saying, you know, Chud equals Rosa Parks morally. And that is the easier version to ridicule if you are on the left, especially if you're starting from the left. What did work, bigging myself up a bit, what did work is no collapse under moral pressure. You know, he repeatedly tried to get me to, you know, force me to disavow, you know, the despicable racist guy, you know, say it with the chest. And I just wasn't giving him any ground on any of that. My strongest pivot was probably, you know, the essential question here is everybody going to be held to the same standard? And that should have been my home base. Every exchange should have returned there. What I also did is I created the broader frame. So Brad wants me to stay trapped in Chud as an individual. And I tried to move to, you know, what behavior gets tolerated, what behavior gets punished, who gets the benefit of the doubt, who gets made an example of. And I think that was the right move. And to an extent, I exposed Brad's asymmetry. So, you know, the moment where Brad says that, you know, black in-group preference is different because of context and social relations, he did give me a clean opening there. And, you know, he conceded the entire debate essentially at that point, because it's not about neutral rules. It's about identity-weighted language norms. Now, if I come into that and said, good, so you agree that speech is being ranked by group status, And my argument is that law and media interpretation, bait framing and social punishment is increasingly operating the same way. And instead, I let it stay on the narrow point of the slur etiquette, which was a tactical mistake. Now, where he boxed me in is he very much wanted to focus on the specific case. And he wanted to use it as a trap against my systematic frame. So I wanted to argue that this case sits within a wider pattern. Whereas he wanted to argue, did this individual say slurs? Did he provoke people? And then did he shoot somebody? So he kept collapsing the system into individual contact. And where I gave system claims without hard proof ready to hand, because, you know, like I said, I didn't know what I was walking into. I wasn't going to court or anything. You know, he labelled it as anecdotal. And I kind of needed a clearer bifurcation there. I should have said there's two questions. One, did Chud commit a crime in this incident? I don't know because I wasn't there. You don't know because you weren't there. On the basis of everything I've seen, no, that's not the case. To two, why is he being symbolically treated as a civilizational level menace while comparable, or as is often the case, much, much worse violent offenders are processed without this moral intensity? And that second question is what I'm here to discuss. And if I'd done that, I would have denied his ability to make every answer hinge on whether Chud personally behaved well. Like I say, I wasn't going into court, so, you know, I didn't have a whole stack of papers with you know, counterpoints and examples. You know, and I said, okay, you know, he jumped on top of him and started punching him, and Brad immediately pushed to, you know, well, how do you know that? That was a bit of loss of epistemic authority, really, but I wasn't there, nor was Brad. I believe every account of what actually happened. I mean, is it so hard to believe that a black criminal with psychosis who is on the record as saying, "Yeah, I'm going to go after this guy," attacked him, jumped on top of him, and punched him? It's not really a stretch, is it? But fine. I could have gone with something a bit stronger, something like, you know, okay, fine. The public record is incomplete. But my reading of this is that the man appears to have gone there seeking a confrontation. And look, if there's unreleased footage, and I believe there is, that is going to be presented to the court at some point, if the unreleased footage shows that Chud initiated deadly force, I mean, if Chud just went, oh, look, there's a black man, walked over and shot him, sure, guy deserves to go to jail for a long time. Right, but my point is that the public moral verdict is being issued before the evidence is exactly the double standard problem I'm talking about. And that would have sounded stronger because it's more conditional. The Derek Chauvin detour, I think that would have only really appealed to people who already agreed. Because actually people on the left probably still do think that Derek Chauvin murdered George Floyd, that he knelt on his neck. That's not true. We know now that, I mean, even the prosecution agreed, he did not have the knee on the neck, he had the knee on the shoulder. When you see the second video angle, that's actually very clear, and George Floyd died of fentanyl poisoning. But I think the rule here, because bear in mind I'm speaking to the left here, is not to open a second radioactive case unless it directly advances what it is that I'm trying to argue. So that was probably a bad detour, I think I have to admit that. And the pattern recognition answer, I mean, it's true. It could have been stronger against a statistical challenge, because probably his best bit was the exchange where he says, well, your examples are anecdotes and they're possibly algorithmically enforced. And I'm just saying, well, look, I've seen literally hundreds of examples and I'm noticing a pattern. Now, every right-winger is going to hear that and be like, yeah, that's true. But I could have taken it up a level. I could have said, look, the thing that I'm pointing at is, irrespective of, you know, whatever your statistics are, maybe they're right, maybe they're fine, whatever. The thing that I'm pointing to is not just sentencing tables. It's the discretionary leniency, you know, the charging choices, the media amplification, the bail decisions, the prosecutor's ambition, the institutional fear. And whether the officials are terrified of racial optics, That would have been much harder to swat away, and that would have uprated my point significantly. The mother analogy was a kind of a weird one. You know, his analogy was effectively, because it converted an abstract slur into a personal insult against my mother, and I answered you mailing him, said, I don't think that's fine. But really, the premise there is ridiculous, because my mother does not chimp out. You know, she doesn't, I mean, for a start, she doesn't park blocking fire exits and park in disabled bays, and she just doesn't act badly in public. So it's just not an issue. And I can tell you what would happen if she did park in a disabled bay and somebody pointed it out or stared at her, as a video that I recently saw, Chud the Builder. He stands there staring at these group of young black guys because they parked blocking a fire exit outside a shop in a clearly marked area, you know, don't park here. And he just stares at them, and they get out and they start shouting and screaming at him. And, you know, as Chad would say, or I should say with my chest, chimping out. Things my mother wouldn't do that. And if you did point out that she'd done that, she'd be like, oh, I'm so terribly sorry, I'll move it at once. So it's not really an issue. She just doesn't chimp out. I mean, that's the underlying issue. But it would have his point might have sounded good there, because he managed to get me to retreat a bit, because I was flummoxed by the juxtaposition of poorly behaved individuals who are hyper aggressive to my little old dear mum. Not a comparison that really makes sense. If you enjoyed that content, and of course you did because you are a smart person, then why don't you go over to lotuseaters.com, where you can watch the whole episode for as little as £5 a month, which really is not much money at all, and you get loads of really good content.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.